another episode of This Is Whole Life, but this time we're going to get right down to it because guess what? I don't have a drum roll. I need to get one on the machine. Anyway, special guest, first time podcast rookie, but not whole life rookie.
Hey.
Because that was taken last week on Saturday.
Have you never been in a podcast before, Aubrey?
My second time.
Second. So not a rookie.
Not a rookie, but a rookie here.
Rookie here.
Okay.
Rookie here. So we'll go along with that. Aubrey Taub, I'm going to say it wrong.
Children and family ministries pastor.
As soon as I say children, I think it's family. And then as I think it's family, it's children. And then,
you know what? Either way, you're close enough.
I'm close.
That's it.
So, Aubrey, since you are new, we're going to give you first dibs right off the top. Give us, I think Ken had it right. He's like, give us a 60-second version of Aubrey for our podcast audience in case they have not caught your message or your introduction over the last couple of weeks.
Okay. Where to start? I grew up in Florida, St. Cloud area, and then and loved it, by the way, public school, K to 12. And then I moved to, I'm all for public school, love them. Just anyways. Then I went to Southern and pastored in Tennessee, and then went up for Andrews to seminary and came back down to pastor in Georgia because you guys all care about all the places I've traveled, obviously. And now I'm here, which is what's most important. And I'm really excited because I love kids.
You always like to know the road that brought you home.
Yeah, aww, that's true. If I could just, in summation of the chat this week, there was at least 15 welcome home Aubrey in the chat. So your online family was hanging out and they were just like, this Aubrey's pretty cool. Aww. And we'll get to a couple of those comments in a little bit.
I feel the love.
Before we get to that, though, something that happened while we were sitting, Max and I were in the chat, we were hanging out and putting out fires upstairs, downstairs, everywhere. And check this out. During second service, what does it say halfway down the page that was trending on Twitter?
Happy Sabbath.
Are you kidding me? Right? Totally.
That's
took a screenshot.
Cool.
So
on Twitter.
On Twitter, of all places, Hot was pretty cool.
So I guess all the worldwide Seventh-day Adventists were all hashtagging it.
I guess all at the same time. And I don't know why. So if you have an idea of why that could be.
Because it was Sabbath.
Thank you. Hashtag thank you, Captain Obvious. But like if there was.
Well, sometimes the obvious answer is the right answer.
Is the right answer. And it's probably true. I'm just not a happy Sabbath person.
I wonder how many.
So for me, I'm like, why would anyone hashtag
it? You should look into that every Sabbath, see if it's trending.
If it's trending. I'm going to start doing that because I thought that was really interesting.
That is. That's
and
good.
Second of all, we're going to get a quick little education here because Cecilia wrote in about Ash Wednesday.
Ah.
And she's going to teach us a few things that maybe y'all know, but right. I don't know.
Okay. Teach me.
So she said, as Whole Life Church is token Catholic, I'm sure you're not the only one. I wanted to jump in here with a quick Ash Wednesday Lent explanation.
Cool.
Pastor Ken was correct about a few things. Ash Wednesday is the start of the season of Lent, which culminates on Easter Sunday. Timeline was a little off, though. Palm Sunday is celebrated the Sunday before Easter, which was 324 this year, symbolizes Jesus' triumphant entry in Jerusalem, people laid palms down, etc. And on Palm Sunday, we hold palms up, they're blessed with a sprinkling rite, and there is a processional, etc. People save their palms, often folding them into crosses. See below image, and you guys outside won't be able to see this, but you guys here, those are kind of cool. Like I initially thought like a little origami or like a ribbon kind of thing here. And then during Lent, the following year, we return them to the church. The ashes we receive on Ash Wednesday are actually from the palms of last year's palms.
Oh, there we go. What? I said it was this year. So that would make sense, though, because you need them to dry out.
You need them to dry,
yeah,
right.
There you go.
So the reason we put the ashes on our foreheads has roots in the Old Testament, where it was customary to smear ash on yourself, clothing as a sign of repentance and humility before God. And Lent is kind of our spring cleaning to help us realign ourselves and put the focus in our lives back on God. That's where the give something up for Lent comes in. And yes, the ashes in the morning are better, smiley face. Love you guys, Cecilia.
Cecilia, you're awesome.
And then
thank
there's a
you.
Picture of Cecilia with the ashes on her forehead.
That is beautiful. So,
thank you for sharing that.
I thought that was very cool. We all learned a little something, that helps us bridge and can make the connection through religious beliefs.
Thank you.
How about that? So cool. So, Aubrey. Aubrey. No, just kidding.
You can already tell. I'm like, what?
Now, when you think of the message that you're talking about our kids, and immediately in the Bible, you go to Mark and you go to that story. And I think if you grew up Sevi or in a lot of, at least we had the, what, my Bible friends, that's one of the stories in that book series with the red binder and the yellow lettering and was, you know, the I forget the characters' names, but it's a fictional family that goes to see Jesus and the disciples do the rebuking and Jesus is like, no. And then they lead that into the temple. And so they kind of make a whole story about that. And I really like how you said, like, Jesus could have prioritized anyone that day. Mm. Like he could have said, you know what, there's this important person that doesn't get talked about. He was there. Like, Ken could have been there, right? And he'd have been like, man, I should really prioritize Ken because Ken's pretty awesome. But instead, he prioritized the kids and he chose them and then he uses them to be like, this is how things work. I know you guys think you know how it works. And sometimes I feel like we look back at the story and go, well, yeah, but that was in the Bible and that was Jesus and we're not Jesus and all of that. So, but you were pretty convincing that that hasn't changed. Like the hierarchy hasn't changed. What Jesus wants hasn't changed. His kingdom, how you know him, and you only know the Father who sent me if you know me, and then you got to know them. You got to be like them. Has anything changed, or is this, in your estimation, this is, because it didn't seem like it, this is straight up, this is the same as it was when Jesus said the words.
That's a great point. I do think it's the same it was, and it's interesting that the cultural implications are still the same in the sense that our culture today still doesn't put children on a pedestal. It still looks down on them. And we've come a long way as a society by all means, but I still grew up with my friend's parents saying that you should be seen and not heard. Mm. I still grew up around adults saying, shh, don't say anything in the sanctuary. We have to be quiet because this is holy ground and how dare a child make a noise. And so children have been looked down upon, even just in the church, let alone in our community, for thousands of years. And so I do think that the point still stands.
Awesome.
Ken, what do you want
to add? I saw your eyes move. I thought Ken was coming in and going to...
Me too.
Yeah.
No, I wholeheartedly agree.
I figured I just, you did.
Yeah, and there's, one of the phrases I have to try to prune out of my vocabulary is that the youth or the children are the future of our church because they're the current right now
they're
of
now.
Our church.
Yeah.
They're every bit as much as an important part as anybody else. And, you know, to Aubrey's point, that Jesus said the greatest needs to become like a child. So that tells us that children are pretty great.
I couldn't go on without saying that when you were like calling the kids out, like you're like, I am smart. And it's like, come on, you guys all raised your hands when you wanted a hug from Jesus, right? And I'm like, Aubrey brought the hugs to the message. I'm like, all right, because kind of a hugger. I'm like, you know,
I'm a hugger.
Jesus, like to get a hug from Jesus. And the one that really, it always brings me back to that is The Chosen, where he hugs Mary Magdalene in season one. And is just like, you've always been mine. And you're just like, how does that just not make you get the feels? And you're like, man, it's got to be even like way more than that we could possibly imagine to have him to give us a hug. And I just, looking around, I was down in first service a little bit here and there. And it's just like people were smiling. And I love that because you totally brought everybody right to where you were with that. And that just... It was a really nice, warm moment that you could feel everybody getting to share in. And I liked how you also pointed out that Jesus was like, hey, don't. Like, and he wasn't like, guys, come on now. Like, you're like, Jesus was indignant. And so I was like, all right, let's, and that's what it said, right? That's what it says. And I looked it up because I'm like, you know, I'm not sure if we really know what indignant really means. And it said the definition is feeling or showing anger or annoyance. I underlined annoyance just for my own purposes at what is perceived as unfair treatment. Like keeping children from Jesus isn't like that's out of bounds. That's not part of the game. That's not part of the rules. And like you said, it's really hard sometimes when you were raised with, yeah, kids, they should be seen. They shouldn't really be heard. And, you know, don't you have something else you should be doing? When they're really a lot of times just trying to be in the same conversation or have some input?
That part. So I was recently at a friend's house. I'll say two contrasting stories. I was recently at a friend's house, two kids, boy and a girl, I think maybe 8 and 10. And the parents and I were talking and the daughter wanted to join the conversation and dad said, wait your turn. And for a second I was like, okay, I get that. So we're waiting our turn. But then I said, actually, no, can you wait? Like, I really want to hear what she has to say. And brought her into the conversation. And dad was like, well, she can't dominate the conversation. I said, yeah, but we got to let her in the conversation. Like, your children aren't going to know how to be a part of what it means to grow as a family, of what it means to grow up in society, what it means to love well, if we don't allow them to be a part and love them in conversation and love them and learn with them. On the flip side of that, I went to another family's house recently, many children, and all of the kids had chances to speak and chime in and be a part and were asked. If they weren't talking, they were like, hey, I haven't heard from you in a minute. What do you think? It was an inclusive manner, and it just makes me think of how Jesus would want us to even talk within our families and include our children in conversations.
Yeah. Not letting him off. Well, or not letting him off the hook with.
Tell me more.
Tell me more. I feel like you have teenagers, Randy.
tell me more about this. Yeah, no. I just, maybe the my favorite phrase was, we welcome God when we welcome children. And like making it like, hey, this isn't difficult. Right, like search him out. You had you had three things. What was the first one?
What was the first one, Randy?
It's on my note on the floor.
Do we need to pick that up? No.
What was the first one?
So the question before we get to the three is, how do we welcome children?
Right.
So the answers were to bring them.
Bring them. Yeah, and I couldn't think of it. Make room.
Yep.
And be like them.
There you go.
Make room. Here's one that really. We used to take two of my cousins who their family their dad was raised an Adventist, hadn't been part of the church for a long time. Long story, damaged by the church. Not that he wasn't raised with it, but, you know, long story, a lot of hurt, a lot of reasons not to come back. Mom was raised a Christian as well, just not an Adventist. But church just wasn't part of their like weekend plans. But if my parents would drive over to their house and pick them up.
Hey.
Sure, anytime. But then also, people that know the parents are like, well, how come they didn't bring them? You know, these are questions, or grandpa and grandma bring them, and it's like, well, grandpa and grandma get flack for, well, how come, like, the insinuation is, how come you didn't raise your kids better?
Mercy.
To bring their kids to church.
Mercy.
And these are things that I've heard, even myself, from different places. For the kids, sometimes they're being brought to a place that is uncomfortable because they don't really, like, if church isn't part of your thing, and then it's like, hey, you know, Uncle Ken and Aunt Rochelle are going to take you to church today. And you're like, okay.
What does that mean?
Now I got to wear weird clothes. I'm going to hang out with people I don't know. And Uncle Ken and Aunt Rochelle are going to drop me off in a room with Aubrey and a bunch of other kids that I don't know. And so, how do we make that an inviting proposition or a safe proposition for families who are like, man, that I love what you said about let's bring them and then let's make room and be like them. But the first two are really tough if that's not like for every party involved.
Agreed. So the first thing I was talking to my mom about this, and the first thing that came up, the terminology, maybe it's a little old fashioned, was friendship evangelism, and not with the purpose of like bringing them and dunking them, right? But this idea that in a culture that is so saturated in social media and isolationism, we don't know how to make in-person friends, which is a whole other sermon, but it's so necessary, because when we become friends with someone, don't we want to hang out with them?
Yeah.
And when we hang out with them, it naturally occurs that you want to be with them more and more. And what is one of those places you can be with them more? At church. And what do you do at church? Well, hey, you can wear whatever you want and you can come, and we're going to play games. We're going to have crafts. We're going to have food. It's going to be great. Like, I was so impressed and I don't know if I should say names. Maybe I won't say her name. Maybe she wouldn't want me to. But I was so impressed. I met a Pathfinder this past, what's today?
Today's Tuesday.
I met them Sunday. And I said, so how long have you been in Pathfinders? Oh, I've been here, you know, a year or two. And I was like, okay, so like what brought you to Pathfinders? Well, I don't even go to this church. I said, oh, that's kind of cool. Tell me how you came to Pathfinders. Like, well, my friend goes. My friend says how much fun it is, so I want to go. I was just like, well, bet. Like, that's how it should be.
Yeah.
So when I think about what does it look like to bring them and how do we make it more accessible, it ends up looking like answering the question, how do I make friends? Yeah. Because when you make friends, it's really not that hard. I think if you're coming at it maybe from an awkward, standoffish point of, well, she said I should bring people to church. I'm going to go knock on the neighbor's door and be like, hey, I saw you have two kids. Care if they get in my car and we ride to the church and see what happens? Like, no, that's super awkward.
Get in my van.
It's super awkward. Like, stranger danger, what are you doing, right? You can't just go steal children. So we have to be friends with people. And part of
hashtag how not to win friends. Oh my, that's awesome.
Oh Jesus. So yeah, don't steal their children if you want to be friends with them. But for real, like become friends with people. If you genuinely don't have children in your home, if you genuinely don't have children in your extended family that are a part of your Randy got a real big kick out of that. That are a part of your daily, weekly, monthly interactions, what might it look like to befriend those that are physically around us as well?
Gotcha. Hey, I've heard a rumor that we're starting a new ministry here.
What?
Bouncers for Jesus?
Yeah.
I just thought.
I'd never heard that one really before, but no, I liked it.
I did too. I'm like, where do I sign for this?
Because
I've always wanted to be a bouncer and just never really found the place for me. But
yeah,
I feel Jesus, like whole life. Yeah.
Jesus disbanded the bouncers.
I don't know that whole life is your I can name a couple other churches.
Mercy.
Just in that ministry, I don't know.
Oh, man. And then maybe the part that drove home really, really hard was, you know, causing a little one to stumble would be better to have a large millstone around their neck. And you're like, you know, the large was like 1,000 pounds versus the 100. And hyperbole Jesus is maybe my favorite Jesus sometimes because it's just like, look, I'm trying to put it this in a way that you can't ignore what I'm saying. Mm-hmm. And that was so much fun. And I really felt like you kind of wove this into what we talked about in Unique Abilities Sabbath last week, where we can all learn something from everyone. And I think you made a great point that that's kids too.
Yeah.
That they have more to give than just being the now, the next, depending on their age. But that there's things that they can genuinely go, because kids will just shoot it to you straight, right? Like
absolutely.
there's no coding on it. There's nothing. And sometimes I think that unvarnished opinion goes a long, long way. So all that to say, if someone missed the message, they don't take time to go back and listen to it, what's the one thing you want someone to walk away with from it that they don't forget? Like, if you could just give them one snippet, one piece of what you talked about. And there was a lot of great stuff, so I would encourage you not to miss it. Swipe up in today's show notes and you'll find Speaking of Grace in there and you'll find the message. So I would go and do that. But if there's one thing you just really want people to take away, take it to heart, maybe showing them what we're about, what we're going to be about with you, under your leadership here with our kids and families, what would that be?
Oh, a tall order, Randy. I think it would be to be willing to humble yourself to a child's level. That is the biggest part of welcoming them. We humble ourselves before God. We say, oh yes, I have to be humble before God. But again, you said, if we welcome children, we're welcoming God himself. So what would it look like to humble myself before a child? Mm. So be willing to come down to their level. Be willing to get to know them for who they are. And that relationship alone that you build with getting to know that kid will make a world of difference.
I like it.
I like it a lot.
Me too. That's it. All right. We're going to get to, because we don't have a ton of time today, because we got things to do, because in case you missed it, Easter is less than a week away. It is this Saturday.
Right here.
Hence the reason.
Well, actually this Sunday.
Sunday.
Well, but we will have church on Saturday.
There you go.
Right, so. Easter did, well, now you're getting picky on me. So the elusive.
Well, I always find it, Easter by definition is on Sunday.
It is.
On Sunday.
It
is. And we call it Easter Sabbath, and I always find that somewhat.
What if it was called Sleepy Sabbath because he was sleeping?
Sleepy Sabbath. Well, oh my!
I can tell Aubrey is going to be our queen of coming up with names for things that keep us entertained.
Well, I think
because the bouncers for Jesus,
and then the Sleepy Sabbath.
We'll have more, I'm sure.
Man, so maybe we need to keep those family promise stuff close in case we have some Sleepy Sabbath people that show up.
Yeah.
Just take a little snooze on the side.
I'm done. You guys are crazy.
Probably not. All right. So, which also accounts for the elusive Mrs. Bachman, who is not joining us today. She is hard at work at finishing and working through all the details that, you know.
Can I just say, she's they've actually got some screens, right? Have you seen this?
Well, if you check out social media, I know Max was working today on putting out some social media just to tease you a little bit. Like, hey, should I come for Sleepy Sabbath? I'm saying yes, because I don't think you're going to sleep. I just think it's going to be great. And so check out also in our show notes, swipe up. All the socials are there. You'll find them and you'll find out what's happening here. Yeah. Sneak peek.
It's going to be amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I have no doubt about it.
And because I'm over kids, I have to make the plug that there's going to be a really cool kids program during Sabbath school time. You got to be here. 10:45.
There it is. Don't miss it because Aubrey said so. All right. So we had a couple people from all over the place again this week. We had people from Dover. We had people always from the United Kingdom. Dundee, St. Petersburg, Florida. Carol was in the chat and he said, this message makes me consider bringing my twin granddaughters to Kalakaua, and said, "Wow!" And that, and I thought, you know, if by Kalakaua you mean church retreat, I would say yes. You should.
Because in any sense, we think you should for sure come to church retreat, but you know, hey, summer camp.
Kalakaua's on their own. I'm not.
Summer camp changed my life, man. Yeah. I'm down for Kalakaua.
I'm down for summer camp, but you know, we don't just throw out stuff just because. I mean, you know.
Come to both.
It could be. No, I'm just saying, this is Whole Life, sponsored by Camp Kalakaua, High Springs, Florida. So,
good point.
That's all I'm saying.
Yep, there we are.
I put it out there. So there you go. Anonymous 2, not Anonymous 1.
Anonymous 2.
Good to know.
Said, wow, Aubrey, preach, !!
Aww.
Love this message. It so speaks to me. And then Danny asked, and tell me if we answered this one. Okay. How do we deal with children that are withdrawn due to trauma?
We did not.
Do we go about it gently or treat them like other children? And what about those children that don't have that trust established in adults to even maybe answer those first two? How do we do that?
Oh, such a good question. So children dealing with trauma realistically need Jesus and. And I want to make sure that, yes, Jesus is in there for sure. But this is not pray it away. This is not we're going to fix it with a Sabbath school class. This is we need Jesus and some serious therapy. We need Jesus and a support team of people that are going to come around and walk with your child and model to them healthy relationships. Mm. And that it's that you're safe. You're safe with us. You're safe at church. You're safe here, even if you weren't safe before.
Mm.
And to provide hopeful outlooks on situations. And it takes time. It's not an instant trauma. Even if you think of trauma in adults, and we've all been, most of us, I would say, have been through different traumas, anything.
Yeah.
And it takes time.
Sure.
And all the more for children. They're very resilient, don't get me wrong, but trauma shapes their brain when they're young. And so we got to be patient and willing to work with them. And that second question, can you repeat it again for me?
Do we go about it gently or treat them like the other children or the children that don't have that trust established in adults?
One of the things I'd jump in and just say is that even when you say treat children with trauma differently than you treat other children, I would just kind of also say every person's unique and every child is unique. And so I think that, you know, I think about the difference between my brother and me. My brother, when we were growing up, everybody was like, oh, Chris is so friendly. He's so amazing. He's like always, you know, because Chris was the one, he'd go give a hug to strangers. And he was like, you know, he was all that. He was that way. And I was like, I'm much more of an introvert. And so I just kind of, I feel out the room. I kind of figure out where I want to be. And so the way that you're going to work with a child like me would be different than the way you'd work with a child like my brother. And I think that every child has their story, their journey that they're on. And so I think we need to be careful about just kind of having a broad brush where we're like, well, this is how we treat most kids. And then if there's kids with trauma, well, we treat them, you know, even in trauma, there's kids are going to want different things in different ways, depending on what they've been through and what kind of trauma they've dealt with. And so I think, you know, part of that for us is just, is being respectful and learning about that child and what they need, what they specifically need.
I love that so much. I'm so glad you said that.
That and I, you know, Jesus and like, hey, of course, but also the, we don't believe in like magic band-aids that, you know, just happen to appear from nowhere. Yeah. Like there's, it's going to be hard. There's a reason trauma's hard, right?
Yeah.
This one I thought was really good. Michelle asked, what does it look like to become children in God's eyes? I know sometimes we talk about having our relationship be simple and more genuine, but what kinds of spiritual changes should we make if that goal is to become like a child in God's eyes? Hoofta. I don't know if that's, is that another?
I'll jump in with both feet on that one.
Do okay, it. I'll jump in African.
When I hear that question, one of the things I really truly believe that Jesus meant when he said we need to become like children is that in a healthy parent-child relationship, children are very trusting of their parents. They now, not every parent is deserving of trust, and sometimes parents get to a point where their children don't trust them.
Right.
But in a healthy relationship, children really, you can ask your child, especially younger children, you can ask your child to do something, and they'll do it. If you'd be just because, well, mom and dad said it will be okay, and I need to do that. And I think that's one of the reasons why Jesus also is so harsh to people who mistreat children, because the more that people are taken advantage of and have their trust broken, the harder it is not just to trust other people, but to trust God too. Mm. And that's one of the things that is really damaging, is that when we break trust with other human beings, it starts putting walls up in their life that don't just become walls between us and them, but also become walls between God, particularly when we are in a position that represents God. And so when I think about what it means to be a child, I don't necessarily think it means that, you know, that you haven't intellectually developed to the point that adults will be. But I think it has a lot more to do with just the sincere love and trust that children have in a healthy family. And I think that's what God's wanting from us, is he wants us to trust that he's got us, and that he, even in the hard things, that he's going to see us through that. And so that childlike trust, I think, is one of the things that when I think of that passage.
So can I ask a follow-up question?
Sure.
What does that look like for us as adults? Like, how do we break those walls down? Because we've all been hurt again and again as we grow up. And some of us are more trusting than others. Some of us have, quote unquote, healed more from certain hurts. But what does that look like then?
I can only speak to my life. And for me, it's I'm not a particularly trusting human being. It worked really as a reporter, less well as a pastor. But for me, what it's been is a lifelong, a lifelong journey of intentionally putting things on God's plate and saying, I'm really scared right now, and I really feel like I need to figure this out. But I'm going to go ahead and step back and allow you to work things out. And for me, what that looks like is my tendency, I'm a problem solver by nature. It's what I like to do. Problems, I love to solve them. And I genuinely believe usually that I can figure out my way around anything, you know, it's like when I double book myself and I figure out how to do stuff. And we're all laughing because I double booked myself this week in a pretty significant way. But for me, it's been a little bit of just sitting back and saying, you know what, maybe I don't have to kick doors open. Maybe God, I'll give you permission to open the doors for me. And if doors aren't opening, that maybe Ken doesn't need to go commando and think he's got to figure out how to do it, how to kick that door open, but rather Ken can go ahead and say, well, maybe that's God telling me something, and maybe that's time for me to sit back. And I think the time that it just hit home the most for me, and where my life really actually changed from me saying, God bless my plans, to me saying, God, what are your plans, and help me to figure that out. The major shift in my life came in my first job when everything went wrong and things went sideways, and I started looking for another job, and it didn't matter how hard I tried and how good my resume was, I wasn't finding a job, and I got to the point of just desperation. I'm married. I'm just humiliated that I can't find anything, and I know I'm a hard worker. I know I'm a good person. Why can't I get a job? And nothing's happening for me. And finally, when I kind of just, I didn't quit looking for a job, but I kind of was like, well, I don't have anything here, God. I guess I'll just have to do whatever job it is. At that point, the job came through for me. And I just watched as that job morphed into another job that was incredible. And just, you know, I love, you know, outside of pastoral, it was my favorite job I've ever had working in radio and television news. I just loved it. And I could never have planned for that. That would never have been where I would have thought God was going to take me or do with me. And so for me, that was kind of the beginning of the process. And the next stage for me was when God said, I'm done with you in news, and I want you to go work for the Adventist Church again. I was like, no! And at that point, God actually gave me the opportunity to make my choice. It wasn't no other doors were opening. The first time it was, nothing else was opening. Now, are you going to trust me or not? And the next time it was, you know, my television station saying, okay, good tactic. What do you really want to stay on here? And I'm like, no, I feel like God is telling me to leave. And they're like, yeah. So how much money would make you feel like God's saying something else?
Mercy.
And so in my life, I've just really come to a point that believing that being childlike really means that when I take the opportunities, whether they're small or large, to try to trust God. When I don't understand it, when I do understand it, and allow God to be in charge and to lead me, and to stop thinking that Ken runs the universe and that Ken can think his way out of whatever, but rather trusting that God knows what God's doing.
Mm. Amen.
That's great. Well, Aaron and Joe from Dundee, he's United Kingdom. He's with us for both services every week as part of the
Joe, you're awesome.
So, Joe, this is your formal podcast.
Does Joe listen to podcasts?
I think he does, because every so often I don't know if he does every week, but I have gotten
podcasts a whole life. Yeah. God, church, Joe.
That's it. And him and Aaron both said, welcome, Aubrey. Yeah. Ken and Tammy, welcome, Aubrey.
I wonder which Ken that was.
I don't know. And then Aaron was saying, I love the ASL interpretation. Your mom was part of that. So that was really cool her there. And she also said, I love how Jesus wanted to live the human experience and came as a baby. And just to think, you know, we know that story, and, you know, we go through it every year at Christmas at minimum, and if not more. But it just really, it did really feel like, yeah, Jesus was a kid one time too. Mm-hmm. So he understood what it was like to be told, probably kids should be seen, not heard. Why are you bugging me?
Imagine the person who said that to God.
Mercy.
Right. Oh, man.
Shh, quiet town. We need to hear. Like,
Jesus,
really?
Please be seen, not heard. We mercy. Still do that, though, don't we?
Mercy.
Don't we do that? I mean,
if why you got to call me out?
That sounds like a...
I think we just...
Well, I think you just called yourself out.
I think Ken just told the story, didn't he?
Yeah.
Yeah, a little
bit. That's
yeah.
it, though. No. That's no, it.
And that's... and then we... asked, how important is it for us to understand God's unconditional love and grace before we can share that with our children? And I think you were pretty clear overall in your message about that, that it's up to us to train up a child. I had to throw that one out there. But, you know, to mimic to the best of our ability and to, you know, actions and words. And when we don't get it right, we're like, whoa, really screwed up on that one. Or, you know, they know when you're getting it right. They're more intuitive than I think we would give them credit for most of the time. And then Aaron said, I love how Jesus validated the children and the space that they occupy. Just like, yeah, this is it. And I'm making a big deal about it. Okay, here's Ken's question. And I'm sure this is...
That's a question.
Oh, I put a question in.
Yeah,
I did. I can't help you with this
Wowzers.
One either.
Okay, so wait.
Because I asked it.
We'll save it. Wait, hold on.
Oh, there's one more.
Tammy said, such, in all caps, a great mess in a great and essential message.
Oh, see, God Tammy. And
if you got Tammy's approval, yeah. you're on the right path.
Is this Tammy Cincomani? Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean,
or we don't know.
Yes, it is.
Oops. JK, shouldn't have thrown you on the bus.
I actually got a text message from Tammy after the service saying, good pick.
Yeah.
Aww.
See?
Yeah. I love you.
And so, okay, let's get to the others. Dave said, wow, what a wonderful message. Great ideas to use in my church here in Victoria, California.
We love that, Dave. Thanks for...
God. So yay! Thanks, Dave.
And then Anonymous said, I read this and I feel it applies to the sermon today. Campbell Morgan notes that the essential fact in the transformation Christ works is that he changes the great ones into little children. So we're not on the hook to change ourselves into little children, but Christ does it for us as we allow him to sanctify us. We must become less in our own eyes than that of the world in order to be more in the eyes of our Savior, because he humbled himself to step down from heaven and come in the form of a lowly infant and ultimately to die a sinner's death on our behalf.
Beautiful.
And I was like, that was really nice. And Randy R. said, it's amazing how young children don't have biases and prejudices. How can we be sure we don't teach them damaging biases and prejudices?
I mean, listen, we're going to. That's the reality. I hate to say that. I mean, all of us have biases and prejudices. We don't want to teach them that intentionally. We do the best we can to undo that. But, man, we grow up with them, and we don't know we have them until someone points them out often.
Oof, yeah.
And which is uncomfortable. So... obviously, we try to learn and do the best we can and do better than those before us and learn and grow and
make steps.
Yeah, I think personal growth is the key to that one because most of the time the biases, I think a lot of the biases and prejudice that we have in life are blind. Mm-hmm. We're blind to mm-hmm. a lot of it. And then the other times we view it as protective, where
yes.
like it's important for us to think this, because if we don't, then we, you know. And so I think it's important for us to be educating ourselves, constantly trying to pay attention and say what, you know, what's good boundaries
yes.
and what's bias.
Oof.
Mm-mm. Ouch. All right. That's it. Last
now
one. Now it's Ken.
All right.
Oh, you saved mine for last.
It's
huh?
Ken, and then we wrap. So you know, right. we've made you feel good. We've told you all the deep dark secrets of everyone that you know was. Having
I feel
a great
like
time.
This was a pretty big softball. Just for,
all right,
just
all right.
For the
thank
record.
You.
This was an underhanded so across the plate pitch
from the second service chat. A man named Ken said, "Aubrey, what are the ways you see churches today acting like the disciples?"
Ooh.
And keeping kids away from Jesus.
Oh, how much time do we have again?
9 minutes.
Oh, man. What are some of the ways?
And maybe not even to call out other churches,
no.
but what are some of the things you don't want us to do here at Whole Life?
Good. Okay. I tried, I'll say this first, I did try to put things in the positive because I didn't want it to be like, don't hinder, don't do this, don't do that. Because I think sometimes we're like, so then what do I do?
But I feel like if God had 10 commandments that had a lot of thou shalt not,
there we
go. You know, every once in a while, it's okay for us to say, you know, this is bad behavior.
Fair. Agreed. Do not ignore a child.
Yeah.
Do not ignore a child. All caps. Do not ignore a child. No, if you're talking to a parent and there's a child there, say hello. Ask them how their week was. Ask them how old they are, what grade they're in. Do they like Legos? I don't know. Ask them something to make them feel seen and heard. So do not ignore a child. Do not only, I should say, do not only impart knowledge. That's that willingness to learn, right?
Yeah, love it.
Please turn around and be willing to learn. And do not, and this might be controversial, do not say, well, I don't like children, so I'm off the hook. Well, I don't think Jesus gives you that opportunity. So what does it mean? Does it mean you have to be the Sabbath school teacher? No, but it doesn't mean you get to be rude. It doesn't mean you get to be standoffish. It doesn't mean you get to be...
Grouchy.
Oh, please don't be grouchy. Please.
No, nobody likes to...
Well, like, especially towards kids. They may not be your jam, but at least, like, just crack a smile. Like, basics of human decency that we do with adults, do them with children.
I love it.
But, you know, the kids, too, like, one of the easiest icebreakers, if you're just like, you know what, kids aren't my jam.
Yeah.
And they, you know, they kind of just, like, aren't. A lot of kids, they get... You see the parents dress them up, right, for church and be like, man, I can... Like, I dig your shoes, or those are some crazy socks, or you know what? That is a pretty, you know, you look fantastic today. As simple as
absolutely.
That. And they're just like, oh, yeah, yeah, I do look pretty good today, don't I? And then they're like, you know, you just, right away, the smile. And it's like, just a smile's enough. Yeah. Just a smile's enough if that, you know, it's a starting point. And it's, if you're like, if kids aren't your jam, I get it.
I want to add one more thing in there. Just, I know it was my question, but
answer,
and
that
I loved,
question.
I loved,
I'm with
I loved,
it.
Well, just one more because I love everything you said, wholeheartedly agree with it. And be careful what you're critical of in front of your children.
Please.
There's nothing wrong with, I think, in fact, it's important to teach children to think critically. But I hear a lot of times where we are very critical of, and sometimes very fairly so, of church leadership, of things that are happening at church, and we're very critical in front of our children of it. And it's not, like I said, not unfair maybe. But then we somehow become surprised when our children become very critical of church,
right,
and stop coming. And one of the comments that I'll hear is, well, you don't even like church, so why are you going to church? So why would you want me to be there? And so I think... it can be very easy to be very critical of people in front of children. And again, I'm not suggesting there isn't a time and a place to teach children wisdom, you know, when that person did not behave correctly to you.
Sure.
But there's also the grace aspect of it. Let's teach you how to work through that person and how to confront the issue in a positive way, believing the best in people and having the assumption of good intent, which is something that's important to us here at Whole Life.
The assumption of good intent.
And hey, I'm preaching to the choir here because, like I said, I look at things and I can be, you know, I hate to say it, judgmental. I can look at things. And one of the things that I wish I'd done better with my own kids was to be a little bit more careful about what came out of my mouth in front of them when it came to things that are going on. Because there's a lot of ways to look at things in life. And one of the things I think we do our children a favor is when we teach them to see the good in things as opposed to see the problems in things, and to see that there are problems, but there's also, you know, for that annoying person that's always, you know, a little grouchy at the door, they're also the person that's always at the church work bee.
Yeah,
that's there cleaning up and helping out. And that, you know, for everything that people like about you, there's also just things that they're not going to like. And that's human beings. And so when we look at people, we can look at their flaws. And sometimes it's important to look at them because, again, it keeps us safe. But also sometimes we tend to have just an obsession with that. And when we teach our kids to be more critical than they are positive, that can be a real problem.
Absolutely.
And to add one more thing
quickly. Go for it. Do it.
I just keep thinking... treat others the way you want to be treated.
Yeah.
And I think back to when I was a child, how would I have wanted to be treated? Mm-hmm. So if you feel like I can't relate to this kid, just like, okay, maybe your thing wasn't X, but it was Y. Awesome. Remember how much you wanted adults to be interested in that because you just thought it was the bee's knees. Like,
yeah, absolutely.
This is what you need to do for them too. So.
And where did your biases come from? Mm-hmm. In a lot of cases, it's the people that you wanted so desperately for them to hear.
Yes. Yeah.
Just to hear you and just, I didn't have to say anything, but just a, oh, like just an acknowledgement that
I see you.
Yeah. And in so many ways, I feel like that's where we can be, even without, like Ken, like you said, just like not even being like ignoring them, but just not paying attention in those moments can be just so damaging in not giving that more positive side. Okay. Mm-hmm. Thank you for your first message. It was great. There was so many people in the chat and afterwards that were just buzzing about what they had just heard coming off of the Unique Abilities Sabbath. This was like 2 weeks where we talked about, and not that Unique Abilities was just about kids, obviously, but we saw a lot of kids in our community that are going through things. And this just felt like this was 2 weeks where we were like, hey, you know what? Our kids are really, really important part of what we do here at Whole Life Church and what we believe and what our values are. Amen. So we're so happy that is also your your focus and as being a part of our team. And so, guys, one more thing is just Easter. You know, Easter is a great time to
think about coming to first service.
Thank you. I was just going to say, because here's the real deal. We all want that. Like in Easter, you know, sometimes we're guilty of chasing that worship experience, right? Where it's like, man, I need to feel like God is in the worship with me today. Some days it comes, some days it doesn't. No matter how, you know, what you're doing, it just seems. But I'm just telling you that Easter at Whole Life is not to be missed, number one. Yes. Number two, please, please, please get here early. Come to first service because we are anticipating a large number of people, which means that eventually we will get to the point where we have to turn you out of the worship center and say, we have overflow and we want you to be here. We want you to worship. We want you to participate.
But we can almost guarantee if you come to first service,
you should be okay.
You will be.
Yep.
Should have space. At least the last 3 years I've been here, there we've had
in first,
space.
Yep.
And first service is 9:30. So 9:30.
And I would also say, if there's anyone who's just like, you know what, Easter's just kind of another day for me, Easter Sabbath. Then you know what, maybe you go to second service. Go to first service. Open up a spot there or a couple spots at second service.
But whatever you do, be sure you're at.
Yeah, you got to come.
Be here or watch us online if that's what works best for you where you're at.
That's true.
But this is I would say this is one of those Sabbaths that's a good one to be in person too.
Mm, yeah.
We've got some cool new tech that we're pulling out for this, and I know that
they're working
Melanie
hard.
And Stanley did some pretty cool video shoots at her house this week that involved
don't ruin it.
Okay.
Yeah, no, it was I have seen it and I'm like, oh yeah.
It's gonna be lit.
I don't know how they're gonna put it all together yet, but I know it always does come together. And just, you know, don't miss 9:30 and 12. So in person, and just come. And if we'll have people that are helping people get seated and moved. And so the other part is just squeeze in. We're family. Meet in the middle and shake a hand and then sit down. Walk all the way to the middle, shake a hand, sit down. And that way we can get as many in as possible in each service.
Or just be prepared to have people climb over top of you.
Well, that's true too. Oh, and then look at Aubrey. She is super. Okay. First time I met Aubrey, what did I call you?
Super Aubrey.
That's right. Because I knew then how super she was. And she just looked at me and she's like, Tenebrae, don't forget about Tenebrae.
Tenebrae on Thursday.
Thursday evening. Don't forget about Tenebrae. We're partnering with New City Church, who rents our facility on Sundays and has worship here on Sundays. And we are connecting again like last year on a Tenebrae service. And if you go to wholelife.church/events, you can find out more about Tenebrae, all the details when it is.
6:30.
But please do come and support that. We would love to have a great showing for that as well. And I missed last year because we were actually gone somewhere. somewhere. So this would be my first Tenebrae, and it is my intention to be here on Thursday.
I was there last year, and it was good.
Yeah.
I'm going to be here this year. Woo!
That's it. And then, so like, if you haven't met Aubrey, it's a good time to come because she said she's going to be here. So that's it.
Yep.
Come early, first or second. And if it's online, we'll be in the chat as always, getting to know you a little bit better. And so I'm excited. And I think that's it, right? Anybody else? Nope.
Have a great week.
Happy day.
Ken took my line.